celebrate your Labor Day picnic, barbecue, or any gathering with Tom Thumb. To make your Labor Day special, check out our specials. Shop with your Remarkable Card and get USDA Choice T-Bone Steak or Bone-In New York Strip Steak, $4.97 a pound. Jumbo Whole Seedless Watermelon, only $3.99 each. And select sizes of Lay's Family Size Potato Chips, Cheetos, Fritos, or Doritos are only $1.49 when you buy three, limit three. Tom Thumb, proudly serving North Texas since 1948.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we want God to make us better, and we thank God for just an opportunity for to be on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are here to be a blessing to each and every one of those that are be listening in the Word of God. We pray that the Lord, Word of the Lord will fall on good ground, and those that need this Word will hear it, and that they will be blessed by it and strengthened by it. And we thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for our speaker today, and we also thank God for each and every one of our listeners, our listening audience. We're so thankful for your support, and we're just going to open up today with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, for all of your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for being our strength, hallelujah. We thank you for being our shield and our buckler. We thank you for being our very present help in the time of trouble. We thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd that we shall not want. We thank you for being our light and our salvation, O God. We thank you, O God, that you are our refuge and our strength. So, Lord, we thank you today, hallelujah, for everything that you have done. Bless this word. Bless the broadcast today. Bless each and every one that will be calling in, those that will log in, and those that will even listen later, those that will find the broadcast just because they're scrolling through, Lord Jesus, and may not even know we're on the air, but they'll find it, and, Lord, be blessed by the hearing and doing of the word, oh God. So we thank you. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to let your anointing flow through today, Lord, that people will be blessed by your word. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are thankful just to be going today. Today we're going to talk about our renewing your mind through the word of God. This is our final lesson on this particular topic, and it's been such a blessing. And you will be able to find all the episodes of on this topic right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Blog Talk Radio, and our thing is a different show. And under the Prospering Souls broadcast, and you'll be able to find each and every one of these. And also, you'll be able to look, be able to access them through Facebook and through Twitter, and be able to catch up on the teaching if you need it, because it has been such a blessing. Elder Timberlake has been such a blessing in teaching the Word of God, and we thank God for her. Elder Timberlake, are you on the line?
I am. Hi, Elder Bryce.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for you. I said we're moving into our final stages on this particular topic, and we really could go on and on, I said, because there's so much to renewing our mind, but we're going to begin to wrap this topic up and then move to the next topic. And so we're just so thankful for her being on the line today and ready to teach the words. God bless you. I'm handing it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Elder Bryce. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a blessing, and we're grateful to God for this opportunity, but we don't take it lightly, because anytime you've given the opportunity, the privilege to help somebody or help yourselves about the Lord, it is truly humbly accepted, and it's truly a blessing. The topic, as you said, Elder Bryson, it's been a blessing to me. It has, I mean, everything I look at, I'm looking at, you know, every situation when it goes a little topsy-turvy, doesn't go like, oh, if I don't respond like I should, I look, okay, mine still need to be renewed. Something needs to be renewed. That is so at the forefront of my mind, of my thoughts when I make a decision. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that, because in this season that we're in, we have to be very cautious and alert. And we need to make sure that we have not given a gap to the enemy. We've talked about that for the last few weeks. I've always said you can't give him not even a crack, because if you give him one, he's going to inch in with something to distract you, to get you out of focus, to get you off guard. And we realize that our minds have to be renewed on a daily, consistent basis all day long, for it is not a one-time event. We've said constantly it is a journey. It is a process. It is ongoing. It is a life-changing, life-evolving situation, state of being every day of our lives. And we're grateful to the Lord today for what he's done and what he's brought us up to. The last time we talked, we were talking about spiritual inspections, and we were talking about how David asked the Lord to search his heart, and how we should, and how we too as Christians or believers, or those of us that are just interested in the Lord and don't know him yet but have a curiosity about him, that we should ask him to search our hearts, because the way our mind operates, it has so many thoughts, so many things coming to our mind on a daily basis all day long, some good thoughts, some crazy thoughts, some thoughts you don't know where they came from. And so we have to be able to reel that in. And if you don't have a relationship with God and your mind has got all these thoughts, it's imperative that you learn, get some tools that you can put under your belt that you can use to help you to get your mind back in focus and to have a clear mind just in our daily lives. Sometimes our mind just gets helter-skelter. We're not even paying attention. Even like we could be just driving a car and your mind wander off. We've got to keep our mind focused, because if you're driving and you wander off, you could lead into an accident. So that's why that's just in the natural side. That's the same way in the spiritual side. If we don't stay focused, we could go off on a path that's not beneficial to us, and it could lead us into some type of danger. And so as we ask God to search our hearts, because we don't always see ourselves the way we really are, because if our mind is already fickle and we're not thinking clearly, and our emotions affect our mind and our perception, so if we can't see ourselves clearly, we need the one that can, and the one that can is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He can see our innermost parts. He made us. He knows all about us. He knows our secrets, the things that we seemingly can't tell anybody, and we're holding them to ourselves and think nobody knows. Well, I got news for you. Jesus does. He knows, and he doesn't know it just to capture you, but he wants you to come to him willfully, and he's willing, and he so wants to help us. He so wants us to grow. He so wants us to prosper, and so do I. So that's why this subject of renewing of the mind, it gets your mind in position for growth. It gets your mind prepared to be where God is calling you, to make you go back and relook at, Lord, am I in your will? Am I doing what you asked me to do? Am I going off on a path on my own because I'm being led by my own intuition or my own mind or my own instructions or by my own desires? Or am I really allowing you to lead me, and are you directing my path? Those are good questions to ask ourselves to ensure that we're on the path that the Lord would have us to be on. Well, all believers face spiritual warfare. It is with the mind that we have chosen to serve the Lord. This means that we have made a decision to serve him with our whole heart, our body, mind, spirit, and soul. We know that the heart, spirit, soul, and mind are interchangeable in the Bible, and we've discussed that weeks earlier in our topics as we've been discussing this topic, renewing of the mind. This just shows us how great our God is. He has made us so complex, but yet finite, that we still got to depend on him and that we need him to help us to even to understand ourselves. The word lets us know that it is in him that we move, live, and have our being. It is in him and because of him that we are existing today. It is through him that we are able to go from point A to point B and make decisions, that we've overcome many obstacles in our lives. It is because of him, not of ourselves, that we just want to give God praise and be thankful for all he's done. And even when we've gotten off track, he's remained faithful, and we are grateful for that. So since the mind is so critical to both our natural and spiritual lives, it is imperative that we keep our minds covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, how do we do that? We do that by the word of God. We've constantly said you've got to study the word of God. This is why our mind must be renewed, because the enemy is after our potential. He doesn't want us to do what God called us to do and what we are destined to do and whom we are destined to be. He doesn't want us to accomplish that, because God already told us he knows the thoughts that he has towards us. They're good, an expected future. We know that, but the enemy wants to block our progress. So he's trying to stop us. He is trying to distract us, and so we can be out of focus. But it is imperative. It is imperative that we are focused on on what we see, but we focus really on what we believe. It takes a renewed mind to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. In the past weeks, we've talked about searching our hearts, and we've talked about just renewing of the mind, which is our reasonable service, so our minds can be transformed, so we can serve the Lord with a pure heart, so our minds can be clear. And I was beginning to think and getting ready for this topic on last week, and I was thinking, and it just came to me, that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Because it is with the mind, if we don't have the whole armor of God, then the mind is exposed. It is with our mind that we serve the Lord that it needs to be renewed. So to ensure that our minds are getting renewed in alliance with the word, we need to have on the whole armor of God. So when the enemy comes up against us, we are able and positioned, ready for battle. Because remember, the battle is in our mind. There is a battleground going on in our mind constantly. And when we would do good, evil is always present. When we want to do good, we've been pulled, because we're in this life, we're in this world, like in this world system, and we are trying to, and we are desirous to live a spiritual life, because we are a spiritual being living in an earthly situation. And so as we try to do that and vacillate that in our lives, sometimes we vacillate in our beliefs, in our walks, because we struggle with trying to please the flesh, which is our human side, and the spirit, which is the one, the innermost parts, the one that has made us, that we have committed to. So today, if you will and you have your Bible, we're going to Ephesians, some familiar scriptures, Ephesians 6, and we're going to begin with the 10th verse. And I'm going to read just 10 verses, verses 10 through 20. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mercy of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, in studying any chapters of the books of the Bible that Paul has written, especially those when he says he's in bond, and it's just amazing to me how he yet had that drive to please God with his flesh being in bondage. It's such an example to us that have the ability to be free to go to the store, go to church, wherever we want to go, and go back home in our lives and still serve God. And then we wonder, Lord, are we serving you with our whole heart? Are you getting 100%? Because if you remember the little song we used to sing, been running for Jesus a long time, I'm not tired yet, but 99
and a half
won't do. We got to have 100. We need to make 100. So with serving the Lord, and every time I read something by Paul, I mean, I don't know about you, but it just touches my heart.
Yes.
It touches me because it makes me feel so inadequate to God to know that somebody as astute as Paul was and knowledgeable and as anointed as he was, but he never let his circumstances, once he got on the right track, he did not allow his circumstances impede his process on the path, the journey that God had given him. And that's one thing we need to learn from the lessons that we've been having. Regardless of what we are going through, whatever challenges we are facing, whatever circumstances, whatever storm is passing or raging in our lives, we've got to have an anchor. And that anchor needs to be Christ, and we've got to be steadfast in the faith that we say we believe. This is why we need the whole armor of God. We have to put it on so we can be prepared. Does anybody have anything to say at this point?
No, this is good. Excellent.
Okay, so let's go. Let's look back at the scripture. Let's start here at verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 10. We know that we ought to be at the disposal of God's command, whatever he's asking at any time. And it is imperative that and we have to realize that what Paul, I believe, realized, that God didn't just save him for himself. That's why he kept writing letters and staying in communication with the different churches that he had started and the different ministers that he had had coached and ministered and mentored. He stayed in contact with them to keep them encouraged, and it's something about that to keep them enlightened. And just the same way he has done the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, and these people, the Ephesians ones, in the chapters before, he was telling them about obeying their parents. He was telling them why you need to obey your parents. He was talking about relationship with the husband and wife, how you have to submit, and why you do what you do. That's in the natural. So if he took the time, because God is concerned about both the natural and the spiritual. And when I took the time to tell them how to live in a natural life, because it all lines up. Because if your natural life is out of order, many times your spiritual man is also out of order because they sort of line up like parallels. They go together. And when one is out of order, you need to check on the other and vice versa because it should line up. And when your mind is renewed, you won't think your life is out of order on the natural side if you run into a challenge. Because as your mind is renewed, you have grown and you are matured, and you know you're going to have life challenges, and you know God is going to allow circumstances to come to you so he can see what's in you, so you can recognize what's in you that needs to come out to see if you made, if you're at the point where he can trust you to take on additional assignments, or for you to see that you're not where you are so you can see yourself. And those are the things the Lord does for us because he loves us. And that's what we have to do for ourselves is, just like Paul was teaching them, we have to receive that same word and then apply it to us in our lives and help others. As God has helped us, make sure we help others. So it said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. First, he's telling them what they can do. This is what we can do. You have to do something yourself. And I've said in the lessons before, when you renew in your mind and you ask God to change you, you ask him to change you. He will if you ask. But if you want to stay changed, it is not just one-sided. It is not for God to do all the work. You've got to do something. When you say you want to be changed, he's requiring something of you. So there is some steps as a human that you have to do. So Paul is telling them, be strong in the Lord. So you got to be strengthened as much as you humanly can. Do the best you can, because even all doing your best is not enough, and it's destined to failure. But he didn't leave it right there, because it says, and, which is a conjunction, which connects two things together, two different thoughts or two different things, whatever. It's a connection word, and he connected with in the power of his might. Now he's emphasizing being strengthened by the power of God. So if you put forth your humanity, what you're trying to do, and being strong, and then allow God to connect with what you're doing with his overwhelming, almighty essence of power and strength, then you will be covered and have your mind ready, conditioned, be able to put on the whole armor of God. Because you got to be in position to even accept that. Because when you look at in the when people going into the military, they go through some type of training. They are tested. If you don't pass the exams and certain training, you might have signed up, but you don't get to stay. But if you get to stay, there are certain requirements that they have. They give them special uniforms today, and they have to maintain a certain body stamina. They have to take care of themselves. There are certain requirements as a soldier in the military today that they have to do, the same way it was in the Old Testament and in during the time of the Romans. But what I liked about Paul, because he was in prison at the time he has written this, he's looking around. He's able to see what the soldiers are doing, and he's able to use a metaphor of what they are wearing, their attire, and how it works for them, so he can relate to the people that he's trying to undergird and enlighten and to strengthen and to encourage, to help them to stay on this spiritual path, this journey that they are now on. And he's looking at what the soldiers are wearing and seeing how it will help us, because many times when we want to teach people, it's good to be able to make it more relatable, and he made it so relatable. So the metaphor that he's using what the soldiers would have had on their bodies to fight their battle, and their armor, the kind of material and what they would wear for their attire. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Spiritual battles that believers are engaged exist from now until the end of time, until the Lord returns. We got to face it, so therefore if we need to be ready, that's one of the reasons we need to put on the whole armor of God. There is no temporary truce, no ceasefire. From now on until the end of time, there will be all-out war. For the enemy is out to destroy us. He's out to destroy the people of God. He's out to shut our mouths and put us under a barrel so we can't speak. He's trying to do that. But we will not be defeated because we already know the word says we are more than conquerors. So we've got to be prepared to be in position so we can fulfill the word that we know in our hearts and that the enemy know that we're standing on the word of God and that we are victorious. We already know the end of the story. The enemy has a job to do, and he's doing it. But praise be to God, we have a Bible. We've read it, hopefully. If we're not, we need to read it and read Revelation, read Matthew. You can read Isaiah and read Zechariah. There's many scriptures to read. And then as you communicate and meditate on the word and just let God speak to you, he'll begin to reveal the word to you so that your hearts will be enlightened. So you will know that you won't get caught up with what you see with your natural eye that's going on in the world today, that you are told on to what you believe. For we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Paul is admonishing the Ephesians today to let themselves, and we need to do it too, to be strengthened in the Lord with his mighty, mighty power. We must grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. The word of God is how we grow, how we equip ourselves with the word of God, how we read it, how we study it, how we just meditate on it. God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Well, how do you get to know the knowledge of Christ? You get to know him through his word.
Yes.
You build your relation with him through his word. For he says that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We cannot afford to be vulnerable. Do not give the enemy an advantage. So he's telling them, if something's coming against you all the time, you've got to be ready. You've got to be protected. The battle is not against your flesh. It is not against the blood. It's not against the human part of you. And you have to realize that. Dawson brought up the scripture last time we talked with Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10:5, where we got to cast down these imaginations and pull down all these high things, anything that's exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. And we got to pull these thoughts under, put them into captivity and to become obedient to the word of God. It reminds me of like a cowboy when he's trying to lasso a bull or a cow or something. He has to get the rope. He takes the rope and he spins it around. And at the right time when he sees he can capture around the neck of the animal, then he lets go that lasso and then he pulls it tight till he captures them. That's how we have to do with the darts and the things that the enemy is bringing up against us to attack us, because he's coming with deception. He's coming with lies. He's coming with half lies. You know, he's coming all kind of trickery and deception. That'll, if you're not careful, it'll catch you off guard, because sometimes his lies sound like the truth. We can ask Eve about that. Sometimes it sounds like the truth, and you think you might want to try it. And you think you're doing good, and you find out you have disobeyed God. We've got to pull those things in and lass them up just like the cowboy does, the cow or the bull, and put those things under captivity, under our feet, so they will not hinder us, so we can be prepared and be empowered to go on to be and to do what God has called us to do. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to that?
Thank the Lord. It's just such a blessing. As you were talking, I was thinking about, and you were talking about Paul, but I was thinking about Joseph and all that he had went through and the various things and how his mind, what state his mind had to be in to know that he had that dream and that was what God had told him. But look what all he went through, and what state of mind did he have to continue to keep himself in with God, so that he could reach the destiny that God had for him. And so, just like, you know, you're saying, we have to be able to go past what we see and be able to keep our mind in a place
where we know that God's word is what is true. And so even though what's happening might be fact, but what God's word is the truth. And so we have to look at the truth and be able to stand in the truth. And so that's why he was telling them to put on the whole armor of God, because things are going to come up that's going to attack you. But if you are armed right, you can make it through.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, it says, we are faced with such a formidable foe. We must avail ourselves of God's provision, lest the enemy destroy our Christian witness and ministry, that we may stand, endure, or sustain the heart of the battle. Never give up, never give in the fight against the devil. Stand after you have done all you can. Just continue to stand. Stand on the solid rock, which is Jesus. He is the one that has all power in his hand, the one that can deliver us out of any situation, for he is the great I am. He can do anything. Paul told them, stand therefore. No, let me read back the 13th verse. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that having done all to stand, having done all you can, because the evil day is coming, and as we see it today, the evil day is already here, that we can see because we see the Bible being fulfilled before our very eyes. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, which is the first piece of the armor that we need to have. We got to have the truth first. And how do we get the truth? The truth is based off of the word of God. If you're not studying the word, if you don't know the word, if you're not meditating on the word, if you're not getting around people that can teach you the word or encourage you the word or live in the word, then if you're not listening to the word in any form or fashion, then you are lacking in that area, and then you got an exposed area in your armor. And it needs to be fixed. It needs to be repaired. It needs to be mended. And Paul is saying you can't afford to have that, because the fiery darts are coming and it will take you under if you're not careful. So you need to stand. So when you stand and in the midst of storms and trials and challenges and in the midst of unemployment, in the midst of about to lose your home, in the midst of losing a loved one, in the midst of, and you can still stand and endure hardness as a good soldier, because your faith is built on something else other than yourself, than what you see. Then you stand, and then God comes in and undergirds and gives you that extra empowerment that you need to endure. And this will cause others to be amazed, and it could help win people to Christ. Because when they see you able to go through, and they can't figure it out, how did you able to handle all that? Because anybody that was going through what you were going through should have lost their mind. But you kept your mind, and the fact that you kept your mind, you can tell them and be a witness on what it was and who it was that helped you to get through, to endure that, to overcome. And when you have overcome that piece, you see that there's some growth in you spiritually, because you know of your own self you couldn't have done it. You could not have endured it. You couldn't have handled it, not in your humanness. So it has to be something more than you. So when you stand, do all you can do, and then stand on the word of God that you believe in, that says that you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. And as he strengthens you, you're going to walk through those fiery darts, through those trials, through those tears, while you're trembling, whatever's going on, but you're still standing, crying but standing. Sometimes you get a little anxiety, that we get a little weary, have a little weariness, and we get a little worn, but we keep on standing, and we get back on track. That's what you have to do when he's saying, stand therefore, with your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we said the truth is the knowledge of God. It is the word, because it is the foundation. It's foundational. If you don't have the word, you don't have anything to fall back on. Because you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the enemy, the devil, had the audacity to want to tempt him and offer him some things. But Jesus been all powerful. He knows what to do, because he already has the weapon. He is the weapon, because he is the word to fight the enemy. And that is what we need to fight the enemy, is the word. So you have to have knowledge. And you have to have truth. You have to have an understanding of the word to make sure you have rightly divided it, because the word will keep you grounded. The word will keep you grounded. And you need to be grounded. So when the wind is blowing, you might be going like a tree, the wind blowing, you're going left, right, but your feet is planted, standing right still, because you're not going anywhere, because you, the word says that you're more than conquerors. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath, that you're going to come through this. The word has encouraged you that you're not a failure. You're not what they say that you are. You're not your past. The truth is that I'm a child of the God, and I'm accepted in the beloved, and I'm whoever God says I am. So that's the truth. So when people come to you with bringing up your past and bring it up what used to be, that was then, this is now, that's the old person that you used to know, that person don't live at this residence anymore. I've been redeemed. I'm a new person. I got a new address, a new attitude. So the person you're looking for, they dead, buried. So when we got the truth, it helps us to put the enemy in his place. Anybody have anything they want to add to that? Okay, so the next one then is the breastplate of righteousness, which is the second armor. We know that there are six pieces that Paul has given a metaphor to, but to the soldier's attire, military attire, and there are six. And the second piece is called the breastplate of righteousness. It was used to stop spears and blows from their enemy. And the righteousness of Christ for us as Christians is implanted in us to fortify our hearts against the attack of the enemy. And when we say our hearts, because when you look at, let me back up, when you look at the soldier, this breastplate was curved. It was made out of wood, and it had curved ends. It had curved ends to the sides to protect that whole chest body part, because they want to protect the heart. And our heart in the spirit realm needs to be protected. Our heart in the spiritual realm is our mind. Our mind has to be protected because it is our center core. As I said at the beginning, it is where we serve the Lord. It is where we choose to serve the Lord. It is where we decide to rebuke the enemy. It is where we decide to keep standing, to do whatever it takes to fulfill God's will for our lives. So our mind is critical. It's our core. And which is our heart, and so is it for the soldiers, their heart. So he used the metaphor that your heart has got to be protected, and it was curved in a way that it would protect them from both sides and the front of their body. And we know that God always has our back. So if we have our front covered by doing what we are supposed to do, lining up with the word, equipping ourselves, then we know God has our back. And we can go forward and be eager to pursue the enemy when he comes against us. We can go in confidence and in the power of what God has given us and his authority, because we're going to be going in the name of Jesus and not of ourselves. So when the enemy comes towards us to attack us, we are able to fight back because we know that we have been obedient to the word. We have lined up with the word, and we're in right relationship with God. And that is the key. The renewed mind means we are keeping a relationship with God. We're keeping our minds renewed because we don't have time sometimes that we got to repent and go through a whole lot of stuff to get to God when trouble comes and situations happen and when the enemy begin to attack us. Sometimes we can't do nothing but think, and God moves because we have that kind of relationship. And sometimes all we can say is the word Jesus, and things happen. Situations are stopped that would have been could have been harmful to us. Whatever it is, doors are open that's been shut because we have such a relationship, and we didn't have to go through a long line of list of God forgive me for all of these other things because we've already kept ourselves in line with his word and being obedient to his truth. Does anybody have anything to say or any comment that you'd like to add? Okay. The next verse says, verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we know when we're in battle of any type, spiritually or physically, the enemy constantly want to bring things to us. And, you know, especially when you're trying to have faith to believe things are going to work out in your favor. And the enemy is bringing you doubt, or people coming to you bringing you doubt, or causing you to doubt yourself, or to doubt if God will. Maybe you deserve it. Maybe something you did in your past, and now God is punishing you. They come to you, bring you, these are darts. These are fiery darts that we need to push back, that we need to put that shield up in front of it and cast them away to protect ourselves, because the enemy wants to disturb your mind. He wants to disturb your peace. But Isaiah said, I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because you trust in thee. Because you trust in the Lord, that's your faith again, you trust in him, that through the storm, through life challenges, you still believe him, even though the doctor has given a bad report. And it doesn't look like you saw the x-rays, and it doesn't look right with your natural eye. But in your spirit, you sense there's a healing, because he promised you healing. He spoke word healing to you. Then you're going to focus on what you heard from the Lord, not what you see with your natural eye. Because you can see above that or beyond that, because of your relationship with God, you can see in the spirit that God promised you healing, and you looking for him to fulfill his promise, because you know he cannot lie. He doesn't lie. And so when the enemy is attacking us and sending these things to disturb us, to want us to worry, to be full of anxiety, to be full of fear, then the gospel of peace is come to rescue our mind. The gospel, the great gospel, the gospel comes to give us peace. The word gives us peace, that so you can relax. You can relax. Because he will keep your mind in perfect peace. Because I'm keeping my mind on Jesus. He promised to keep me in perfect peace. Like the Roman soldiers who wore some sandals, and their sandals that they wore had like, they had straps that wrapped around their ankles and somewhere up to their leg. And then in the soles of those shoes, they were made of some kind of thick leather, and they had little rivets of rocks. And those rocks were in the soles of the leather of those shoes, for traction. So when they would get on an uneven soil, it would help them to be able to steady walk, be able to still be able to move, to whatever they had to do. The same way that those shoes were made, that they wore for them to work in battle, the soldiers, the gospel of peace does the same thing for us, because it helps us to stay steady, to rock steady in situations that under normal situations, I said before, would cause you to lose your mind, would cause you to just get out of control, just act helter-skelter. But when you can have peace, when all around you is falling, when all around you is just going apart, you can't even, you know, how, what, me? And then you see other people not even trying as hard as you, not even living right, and they're being blessed, look like, and going on in prosperous. And you say, this is happening to me, Lord? And these are things that come that we don't understand. So the enemy starts playing with our mind. But because we've got our feet steady, we are standing steady, because we have shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We got a relationship with the word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against it. You need that word in your heart. That would be your hidden treasure. When things come to try to disturb your peace, you've got a word that can bring peace and say, peace be still. It brings a calmness to you. The gospel of peace frees a believer from anxiety through the advances against such a powerful opponent. The enemy, he might be powerful, but we know we serve a God that is all powerful and almighty and can do anything but fail. And he is his own weapon, as I said before, because he is the weapon, because he is the word. And the word is the gospel. So if when we are traveling and walking along this Christian path, as we are getting dressed for duty and for battle, we're putting on the right attire, we're putting on the right pair of shoes, the shoes which is the gospel of peace, will make us prepared for readiness. Whatever the enemy is going to attempt to do, we're ready for battle because we're well equipped, our feet are steady, and we're well positioned. So when he attacks, we're in the right spot. Our shield, we have on our shield, we're protected, and we have on our the truth of the word. We got a good understanding of the word. We're ready. We're getting dressed, and we're ready for battle. Does anybody have something that you would like to add?
Amen. I agree with you 100%. I'd like to add, too, that the scripture that you had said with the and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One thing that the Lord put in my heart when I thought about that, he said, I'm Jehovah Shalom, which is the God of peace. He's our peace. And when we prepare, we're preparing a place for him, a place for him to be. What does that mean? We're setting the atmosphere.
Yes.
For him to do something, to bring something, to add something, to restore something. When we're walking in peace and you know, we're always looking for a peaceable way to get through to people. We're always looking to bring peace instead of turmoil. As it's preparing the atmosphere for him, and it's conditioning their hearts also, because we're seeding word.
Amen.
Because if you're talking about Jehovah Shalom,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about peace.
Ooh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
The peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. Yes, indeed. It's also, thank you, Elder Dawson. Does anybody else have something you'd like to add?
Well, I was just thinking about when he says our feet is shed, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you think about that, that means wherever God is taking you and wherever he, to me, this is what I'm seeing here right this moment, that wherever God is causing me to walk, that it's going to be a place of peace, no matter what it looks like or what's going on around me, as I continue to walk in the path that he's given me, that the peace, it will be peaceful. It will be peace there. And I don't have to be so concerned about the turmoil, but knowing that my feet is shod with his peace, and so that I can walk in peace regardless of what's going on.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we know
and
the
if
enemy.
I could say, if
go
I
ahead.
Could say also, with the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the thing that I'm thinking about when the Lord told when he told Joshua, every place the sole of your feet shall tread, God will give it to you. Now, if you're carrying the preparation of the gospel of peace, whatever the situation is, God will give you the victory over it, because he'll give you. Because every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, the Lord will give it to you, and he'll give you that peace in your situation.
Amen. Because all that means is telling us that we need to set our minds, because we know if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, and then so let's move on. I just looked at the clock. Ooh, Jesus, help us. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. Just like a shield, faith in God is our defense.
Yes.
Just like the shield for the soldiers, faith in God is our defense. Taking God at his word and believing his promises. Such trust will protect our mind from doubt that would be induced to us by the enemy. It helps us to resist temptation, and it helps us to resist any fiery darts that the enemy may want to bring our way. Any comments on that?
Well,
you need to put that on repeat, please. Say that again.
Thank you. Come on.
Faith in God. Faith in God is our defense. That's our defense. Our faith in God. That's why we got to stay peace, our mind in peace, keep it in peace. Because if the enemy disturbs our peace, we'll start doubting, and our faith will start fading. But if we can keep our mind in that perfect peace, that we can maintain the confidence that we know if God said it, it's a surety that it shall come to pass, and though it doesn't look like it in my with my natural eye, I know that I know that I know that I know that he is able to keep me from falling and present me faultless before the presence of my only wise God and our Savior. He's able to do it. So since I know he's able to bring me through, I'm going to have peace in God, and that's my defense. Bring your best shot, devil, because I trust God, but I don't even trust myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And as we go with that one, we got the faith, we got the shield, and now we have to have the helmet of salvation, because the head to a soldier is critical. Because if a soldier is shot in the head, he's no longer effective. The same way we are in the spirit. If our head is out of control, and we've lost our reasonable faculties, then with the mind we serve the Lord, then we're not able to. So we got to keep our mind, because I tell you, the way God built us is so complex, it's hard to explain it. But all this information is coming out of our head, our mind, our soul, our spirit, our emotions, our conscience, all of that is all in our head, which is critical that we keep our mind clear, because if we don't keep our mind clear, then our subconscious won't be clear, our perception won't be clear, and how we see things and how we love people won't be clear, how we can't forgive. All of that's affected by keeping our mind. So we have to have that helmet, our heads protected. And just like the soldiers had to protect their head, we need the word of God to keep our minds washed and regenerated and renewed, so we won't let it get clogged with stuff that would keep us from thinking clearly. So our thoughts will be pure, they will be holy, they will represent Christ. So that's why we need to protect our head. Does anybody have something to say about that?
Also, what you have been teaching all month long, it protects that mind, that helmet, that mind, that place where the enemy tries to get to, dealing with the saints of God. That's the first thing he tries to mess with. Is that mind? Because if he could get the mind, he got the whole body.
Amen.
Basically, where it is. So that battle was there. But think of it this way, too. When the enemy feels that you have dropped your shield or lowered your shield of faith, the helmet still protects your head.
All right, now.
Because there's arrows that he's shooting. Your head will still be protected. Amen?
Amen. 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 And then the last one, the sixth piece of the arm of God, is we need to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the only weapon of attack that's really needed. The word of God subdues and mortifies evil desires that fiendish thoughts as they rise within. A rhema word from God that is needed for whatever situation or any battle being faced will strengthen us in any endeavor that we are going through. It will equip us to face every enemy, every attack, every situation as we put the word of God in our hand and in our hearts. And our hearts is in our mind, because that word's got to be there. So when you need it, whatever word you need, it'll come to you at that time when the enemy's coming, just like the Lord told him in the wilderness. He put the word on him, man should not live by bread alone, whatever it is. You tell him where to go and put the word on him. He has to flee. Don't entertain the enemy of any kind. When he comes, you got to recognize him, and you got to be prepared, be positioned to fight. Because if you play with him, then he will play with you, and eventually he'll wear you down. You don't want to get wore down. You need to be strengthened in the word. You want to make sure that you're totally covered, that your mind is protected, that your shield of faith is there, that you got on the right attire for battle. You can't afford to lose, have any part not to have it on, because if you do, the enemy is going to come in at that part. Whatever part is missing, you gave him a gate. You became vulnerable in that area. But if you keep your mind conditioned on the Lord and keep it renewed, when you recognize it, then you have the Spirit to speak a word, to send him back to the gates of hell or the very pit from whence he has come, to get out of your life, get out of your family life, get out of whatever he's trying to mess up, tell him no, he need to find another foe because you're not the one. He has to go because he can't be at your house because where you are is anointed and it's already appointed for such a time as this to do what God has called it to do, and there's no room for him. There's no room. He has to go. He has to flee. And in the spirit, it signifies that the spirit will help us. So with the word of God equipping us and the spirit and the anointing of the Lord empowered us, then we can put the devil to flee. And as we do that, our minds will stay renewed on a consistent basis. We'll begin to grow. We'll let the Lord lead us. And with all that, we will always have to pray. For the Bible says men should always pray and not cease. And what I like about it is as we're growing and we're praying, we're not just praying for ourselves, for me and mine. We're keeping others. Paul was in prison trying to help people, and he told them, remember to pray for your brothers, your sisters, pray for everybody. We got to pray to stay. That's what old folks used to say. And so we need to pray, keep, make sure our prayer life and our prayer language is in tune with God so we can be well equipped to fight the fiery darts of the enemy and that our minds will be renewed on this journey or this path that we call life and Christendom with the Lord, that he may get full service out of us while he has us here, because we're here for purpose and destiny, and we refuse to allow the enemy, don't allow him to steal your potential, because God has need of you. Etta Bryson?
Thank you, Lord. Ooh, that was good, I'm telling you. This is
hallelujah.
I mean, a great series. This has been such a great series, and I want to make sure each and every one of them is out there for people to just to kind of listen to. But like I told you earlier in the broadcast, you know, to make sure that you go back in the archives and listen to each lesson, because she built upon each one, and the Lord has really blessed her. Even this one where it talks about the armor and how that is how she related that to a renewing of the mind. It's been such a great lesson, and we just have to make sure that we stay in the will of God and we stay in tune with God, and that's through His Word and through prayer and through meditation and through just walking with the Lord. Because if we don't, I'm telling you, the enemy is subtle. And it'd be little subtle changes that we don't even recognize. And then before we know it, months, years later, we're in a situation, we're trying to figure out what in the world is going on, what's happening, is because he's been subtly trying to pull us away. And I think about that one song that I think Marvin Wine has sung it last. It's a hymn of the church, Draw Me Close to You, Lord. Draw me close to you. We want God to, every day we need to ask him, just draw me closer to you, God, so that we can stay in the right place, in the right frame of mind with God. Because if we don't, then the enemy comes in and he tries to do it. And he sends little subtle stuff, whether it be something on your job or something at home or something, you know, just as you're driving down the street, something. He does little things. But we don't have to be afraid of that stuff because we do have God and we do have the whole armor of God. And as we always think, you know, the Lord never put nothing on the back because he wants us to continue to go forward. And so as we continue to go forward in him, our mind can be strengthened each and every day. And so that is what you have to do, whether it's, you know, going to Bible class or staying, you know, or listening to broadcasts like this or listening to what you need to do to gain strength in the Word of God, that your mind will be renewed and you won't have to wrestle. You won't have to wrestle because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But just like it said, we can cast down imagination and all those things. And so I don't want to keep rattling on because the lesson itself was great, and I don't have to talk about it to do any justice to it. But I thank God for Elder Timberlake, and I feel like we can go on and on, but I know we can go on and on talking about the Word of God. But we're going to move on to the next topic not next week. Next week is a holiday weekend, and I always try to be mindful of everybody's time and, you know, just their willingness to be a part of this ministry. And so we'll play a rebroadcast. We'll probably play this broadcast again so that you'll be able to listen to it again. And then we're going to move on to Watch What You Say. And so that's a very big topic. It's a huge topic, and so I mean, we'll need everybody's participation because it's really a huge topic. And when I got into it, when we first got into it,
I told Elder Timberlake, I said, well, I think we still need our mind renewed first before we can even start beginning to talk, get this mouth under control. And so it all flows together. And so that's why I admonish you to go back and listen to these, because when we move forward in this, which they kind of touch and run together, because you got to have your mind renewed before you can even begin to watch what you say and govern what comes out of your mouth, because that's what's important too, because, you know, our mouth is causing us to it can cause you to win or lose if you're not careful. And so with your renewed mind, then you can win, because you'll be saying the right thing and doing the right thing in what the Word of God is giving us to do. I'm going to ask Elder Dodson if he would offer our invitation to Christ for those souls that need to be saved, or those that want to rededicate their lives back to the Lord, if he would do that. And then I'm going to ask Elder Phyllis Dodson if she would close us out in prayer, and we'll be praying for Elder Timberlake, because she has done such an awesome job with this topic, and we might revisit it again before it's all said and done, because I think it's just such a blessing. It was such a blessing today. And also, we won't be on next week, but we will be back on September the 10th, and that's when we'll begin another new topic, or we might do a recap of this particular topic, because that could be a possibility as well. And so we might either do that or start the new topic, but I think we had talked about doing a recap of the renewing of the mind, so I'll see what everybody says about that. But we will be back on the 10th. Give everybody a break on next week, and we'll see you back here on the 10th live. We will still have a broadcast on next week. It will be a replay, but we will be back live on the 10th. Elder Dodson?
Amen. I'd like to say a saved mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Amen.
It really is. We would like you to pray this prayer if you don't know the Lord and you want to meet him. Pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and help me to love you. Help me to see you as you want me to see you. I believe that you went to the cross and you died for my sins. And I believe that you came here just for me. Now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you because I am ready to change. We believe if you prayed this prayer that you are saved, and you need to get yourself to a Bible-believing church, one that preaches and teaches the Word of God, that you might grow more and have that mind, that renewed mind that the Lord would like you to have. In Jesus' holy name, thank you.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the word that we heard on this evening. Dear God, help us not to be only hearers of the word, but doers of your word, dear God. Help us to renew our mind by the word of God and speak those things that you would have us to speak, dear God. Help us to realize that the power of life and death is in our tongue. Now, dear God, as we go on through this week, I pray that you bless us. Help us to remember what your word said. I pray every place the sole of our foot shall tread, dear God, that you will give us the peace of God, and our feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Dear God, I pray for Elder Timberlake. I thank you for her tenacity and for her strength and her vigor. I pray that you continue to anoint her to be a blessing to the body of Christ. I pray that you keep her in all her ways, dear God. Pray for Elder Bryson, the founder of this ministry. I pray that you move on her behalf, dear God, and I pray that you pull down and tear down every stronghold that comes against her, dear God. Help her, dear God, through the word of God, to realize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds, bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Dear God, we need you, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we bless you. Lord, help us to remember every day that you allow us to live, that is a day that the Lord has made, and help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Dear God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, and I bless your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we thank everybody for listening in, and everybody that called in, and those that are listening online to the broadcast. We thank God for each and every one of you.
And we ask the Lord to bless those that will hear it later. And we're just so thankful. And we will see you back here on, well, the broadcast will be going on next week on the 2nd, on the 3rd. And it will be going on. We'll have a rebroadcast plan, a renewed, one of the Renewed Mind teachings. And then we will be back on the 10th live. And we're going to do a recap, and then we'll move into on that same day. We'll do a recap of Renewing Your Mind, and then move right into the second half of the broadcast. Watch What You Say. Amen. So God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you back here on the Prosperous Souls broadcast.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
God bless.
Celebrate your Labor Day picnic, barbecue, or any gathering with Tom Thumb. To make your Labor Day special, check out our specials. Shop with a Remarkable Card and get USDA Choice T-Bone Steak or Bone-In New York Strip Steak, $4.97 a pound. Jumbo Whole Seedless Watermelon, only $3.99 each. And select sizes of Lay's Family Size Potato Chips, Cheetos, Fritos, or Doritos are only $1.49 when you buy three, limit three. Tom Thumb, proudly serving North Texas since 1948. Celebrate your Labor Day picnic, barbecue, or any gathering with Tom Thumb. To make your Labor Day special, check out our specials. Shop with a Remarkable Card and get USDA Choice T-Bone Steak or Bone-In New York Strip Steak, $4.97 a pound. Jumbo Whole Seedless Watermelon, only $3.99 each. And select sizes of Lay's Family Size Potato Chips, Cheetos, Fritos, or Doritos are only $1.49 when you buy three, limit three. Tom Thumb, proudly serving North Texas since 1948.